Coming up, Per Fagerin speaks with former KABU host and reporter Paul Rowland, who now lives in Italy. He'll discuss a popular revolt near his home in northern Italy over a massive high-speed train construction project. At 10 on People Rise Up, Andrew Geller examines the active proposals to site liquefied natural gas facilities along the Oregon coast. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, journalist Robert Fisk speaks on recent killings in Lebanon and hear about protests against the WTO in Hong Kong and a look at the death toll for Iraqis in the war. Here's Per.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fagerin, KABU News and Public Affairs, and our guest today is someone a lot of you will know is Paul Rowland, who used to do a lot of programming here at KABU and now lives in Italy. Paul, hi, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, or good evening at this end of the phone.
Well, you're having
anyway.
Supper, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll wait till we get off the phone.
Okay. Well, okay, tell us what's going. Where is Val Susa first? Where is it?
Val Susa is pretty much directly west of Torino, which is in the northwest corner of Italy, right near the Alps, near France.
Mm-hmm. Slight digression. Is that anywhere near Valtellina?
Gosh, I've heard of that. I think so, but I'm not sure.
Because I met some musicians, brass band from that town. They played in Seattle a few years ago. Anyway, back to Val Susa. So what is happening there?
So much. It's it's really an incredible situation. Let's see. Starting from the most recent events, December 6th, the work was scheduled to be started on this tunnel in this town called Venaus, which is at about 600 meters in altitude, about two-thirds of the way up the valley, which leads into France, Val Susa. And that's supposed to be the beginning of this 54-kilometer, about 40-mile-long tunnel through the Alps.
That's a long tunnel.
Yeah, it's massive. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, was supposed to be the construction site. Anyway, it's been occupied by protesters it had been occupied for about a week. Before the events of December 6th, which I'll get to. But anyway, they started occupying the site on November 30, December 1, because work was supposed to get underway. Well, the camp was there for about a week, and the night of December 6th, that was last Tuesday morning, and I heard a report on Free Speech Radio News they had about that. The police came in the middle of the night about 3:30, and there's, I don't know, maybe 100 people. It was freezing cold. There was snow on the ground. People were sleeping in their tents. They came and beat up sleeping protesters in their tents and sending a number to the hospital. And that sparked a huge response. Within 48 hours, tens of thousands of people from all over Italy, from the valley, from this region, descended on that area with a march from the town of Susa, which is just a couple kilometers from the small town Venaus, and basically just through force of numbers retook this site, just overwhelmed the couple thousand riot-clad police that were there, and just basically avoiding the first roadblock where there's a skirmish, and then using mountain roads and trails came down to the site and took it over, which created a bit of a crisis, I would say, at the upper levels, because this has been going on for years and years, but has been increasing in intensity every year as the valley has gotten organized. And so finally, there's been basically no dialogue between the sides. Basically, they've been ramming this project down the throats of the local populace, who just risen up through various spontaneous committees. All the town's mayors of the valley are against this project. And they called them to Rome, five mayors and the head of the Comunità Montana, mountain community, which is an administrative institution in mountain areas in Italy. And so they had a meeting this past Saturday, the first time there's been any kind of direct meeting between people from the Valley, administrators from the Valley, and national authorities. And anyway, they came out with a document basically saying that they would retake the work site, the LTF, which is Lyon Torino Ferrovia, which is the company that is going to be building this tunnel. And they would have a Olympic truce because the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, are going to be here in 2006, just in a couple months. And everybody's been afraid that this huge popular protest would spill over and give Italy a black eye in the Olympics. And that basically they would have they would proceed with an environmental impact evaluation, which they basically, through a special law that was passed a few years ago, they were not going to have to do. And they instituted a ministerial level observatory, they call it, on this project that will produce a report by next May. And none of the representatives of the Valley signed this document because basically it basically doesn't give them anything.
Well, what's the background of that? Now, a 40-mile tunnel, that's a long time to be riding in the dark in a train.
Well, you see, the thing is, this project, when it was born back in the 80s, basically when this whole high-speed train, TAV, Treno ad Alta Velocità, is what it's called in Italian, and you see no TAV signs and banners all over Val Susa. It's an incredible sight. Basically, this high-speed train network was born in the 80s, and this Val Susa is kind of the latest. There's been these construction projects all over Italy, and there's been some protests around Italy because basically what it's creating is a whole second tier of rail networks, which is, by a lot of people's reckoning, completely unnecessary, because what you've got is a deteriorating rail infrastructure throughout Italy. The latest estimate says they need some 170 billion euros just to bring the current rail network up to speed. But the problem is, the reality is in Italy, the way things work, I don't know if you've heard of Tangentopoli, the bribery scandal of the early 90s.
Bits and pieces of that, yeah.
Well, it was a big thing. It shook the Italian political scene. Basically, there was this institutionalized bribery system which financed the parties. So, and that's
the
way
that began with the CIA back in the 40s, didn't it?
What's that?
That began with the CIA and the Christian Democrats after World War II, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's not try to cover the entire post-war Italian history.
Right. Okay.
We'll be here for weeks.
Yeah.
But it's worth doing because it's an amazing history, and little is really known about it in the United States. But in any case, the Christian Democrats, the Communist Party, the Socialist Party, were all financed by these bribes, which was basically institutionalized for a lot of these large construction projects. What happened was when Tangentopoli came in and put a lot of high-profile politicians in jail and a lot of them in disgrace, some of them committed suicide in prison, et cetera. Anyway, this TAV project just happened to be on track at the same time and sort of substituted. And this is according to this judge, who was a judge in the Aldo Moro kidnapping and killing back in the 70s, and also the shooting of the Pope. So he's not some, you know, flaming radical extremist. But he wrote a book called Corruption at High Speed, you know, playing on the high-speed train, saying how basically this high-speed train network has substituted for these other public works projects that were involved in a lot of these bribery scandals. So anyway, this high-speed train network was envisioned, and it's going on all over from Bologna to Florence, from Rome to Naples, from Milan to Genova. Anyway, it's sprouting up everywhere. It's just, you know, you can imagine Italy, which is already a highly developed country with roads and freeways and rail lines and towns everywhere. They're creating this entire new infrastructure all over the country, which is incredibly unsightly and very environmentally destructive. And we can go into some of that as we go along, because some of it will connect to this, the problems that are connected to this tunnel, these tunnels that are going to be built.
Well, it seems you have two systems. I mean, it's not like a first-class train car. It's like a first-class train, and then the rest of the people just kind of ride in deteriorating old second, third-class trains.
Exactly. What they're doing is they're taking away a lot of secondary lines that serve, mm-hmm. like my town. There's a secondary line, which they wanted to do away with for at least 10, 15 years, but only citizen petitions and stuff have kept it going. Actually, it's not going now because it's been 5 years since the bridge washed out from Pinerolo, and even though they inaugurated the darn thing last year, they still haven't brought it back. Anyway, that's another story. They're taking away a lot of these secondary lines all over Italy. There's a lot of lines. There's only like a third or a fourth of the network that has double lines, so it's a slow system. And so instead of revamping and modernizing the existing system, they're doing this entirely new high-speed train system, which will not stop at a lot of the small towns, of course, because mm-hmm. otherwise it would not be a high-speed train line.
Right.
So as it went along, part of what they wanted to do was link this up to the rest of Europe. Well, the fact is the rest of Europe doesn't have high-speed trains except for France.
France does, right.
Because high-speed trains actually are not a very viable thing. It's like France and Japan have high-speed trains that work because they have terrain that are adaptable to a high-speed train line. Italy is an extremely mountainous country, and it's much more adaptable to the very high-technology Pendolino trains, which go at about 140, 160 kilometers an hour. It's 100, 120, 130 miles an hour, which were basically the pearl of Italian technology, built by the railway and Fiat, and they were very adaptable to Italy. So instead of that, what they want to do is they want to punch these holes through the Alps. Well, the first one will be, the main one will be this Torino-Lyon, France line, which is called Corridor 5. And basically, I have in front of me an article by an interview with this economist Marco Ponti from Milan, who's an expert in, one of the leading experts of European transport. He says, after explaining why this economically will not work, says, the only explanation I have is that it will cost more, because basically you've got these consortiums that are created to finance, to build these things, and they're basically just designed to make a lot of money for the usual large financial interests.
Mm.
So anyway, going back to the original question, was this original project was conceived as a passenger train to link up, as I said, to France, first to Lyon and then to Paris, because there's a Paris-Lyon line and then there's a Lyon-Torino line, which there is already an existing line through Valsusa. They want to create a whole secondary line. But they realized that passengers have been reducing. There's been less and less passengers over the last 5 years. So then they wanted to make it a freight line. And there's so many problems with this because the amount of freight has actually been reducing. And most of the freight goes through other Alp passages, notably from Switzerland. And so there's no real reason economically for that. The kind of increase that they would have to have for that are really unrealistic, according to a lot of leading studies on this.
So what are the some of the political parties that have come out against this, or how are they?
Well, that's another good question. Basically, you've got your Republicans and your Democrats here now. They're trying to make it sort of a two-party system, where mm-hmm. traditionally it was a very interesting and lively parliamentary system. Now you've got these two large coalitions, the center-right, led by Berlusconi, which is in power now, with the ex-fascists, what are they called now, National Alliance, led by Gianfranco Fini,
mm-hmm.
and a number of other ex-Christian Democrat and other parties, and of course Berlusconi's Forza Italia party. They're, of course, for it, and the center-left is for it, except with the exception of the Greens, the Verdi, Rifondazione Comunista, and Comunisti Italiani, who are against it, but they're in a kind of a difficult bind because there's a lot of pressure against them to keep with us, because now there's going to be elections coming up in April. So this huge protest is going to enter into election politics. The regional government here in Piedmont is completely for it, and they're arguing that it's absolutely necessary because for economic development, all the usual reasons. They say that Piedmont will be cut off from the rest of Europe, which is a complete lie because there's already numerous highways and at least 4 train lines that link directly or indirectly to Piedmont that comes through the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are against this project basically say what they want is to basically modernize and double the existing line through Valsusa at a fraction of the cost. This thing is going to cost, they say, 15 billion euros, which of course is going to go up to at least 20 billion euros.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be at least a 15 to 20 year permanent, you know, construction site in this valley with trucks going every few minutes laden with rocks that are, there's high quality asbestos fiber in some of these mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the very, very fine asbestos fibers.
Good for breathing in, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's going to be trucks laden with this stuff passing day and night.
Mm-hmm. What about the Northern League? Have they taken any? Are they still around? Are they?
The Northern League? Oh, they're in the Berlusconi coalition.
Oh, I see.
Well,
okay.
That's a good question. They should be against this.
You would think,
If they had any integrity. I mean, if they believe, and there are actually some people, some of the demonstrations that you actually see the Lega Nord flag, you know, and the people, there's at least one or two mayors. There's like 45 there's 45 mayors of towns in that valley. All of them are against the project. Most of them are from leftist parties, but some of them are from Forza Italia, some of them are from Lega Nord, and all of them are against this project because their constituency is completely against it. So it's an amazing thing. It's really almost completely new on the Italian political scene. And it's been amazing to watch. On November 16th, I went up. This is before all this most recent, even more intense stuff has happened. There's they called a protest march from Busoleno to Susa, near where that tunnel is going to start, and they called a general strike in the valley. So anyway, there's a bus from Pinerolo with about 100 people from this area went up, and I was riding in that. And riding up the valley, not only did you see all these no-tav flags and banners and high up on the mountains, these in red, this kind of red mesh, they put no-tav, huge, visible from all over the valley. Any conceivable way, they put the message across.
Mm.
But everything was closed. You had gas stations were closed, pharmacies, factories, bread stores, food stores. Everything was closed and shuttered. Signs on the thing saying closed and participating in the general strike.
Yeah.
So everybody in the valley there's about estimates from 60 to 80,000 people at this march in a valley that has about 70,000 population.
Now, who's paying? Who's financing? Is this a taxpayer finance thing?
Well,
or what?
Well, that's another good question. you remember the channel, right, underneath the English Channel?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which has financially failed twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, both Thatcher at the time and Mitterrand refused to put any public money into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They had some sense, those two, you know, even though, of course, they were, you know, horrible politicians on all the other fronts, but so it was all privately financed. Well, of course, all the investors are holding, you know, worthless paper right now because the thing has failed basically. It was so massive. So this thing is likely to be the same. They say there's going to be 60% private financing. What they've done is they've created what they call here Chinese boxes. They create these structures that basically are supposedly privately financed, but what they're doing is they're financed through loans and bonds, which eventually have to be repaid through tax euros.
There we go, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be completely publicly financed. Even the European, there's going to be some 20% financing from the European Union, which is why they're so in such a hurry to get work started and why the whole intensity is up several levels. Because there are some some deadline that they wanted, they had to get started or else they risk losing this European finance, but it's only like 20%, but even that's public financing because all the European money comes from taxpayers of the European Union.
So how is what is Italy's financial situation like? I mean, are they running a budget deficit or not?
A total budget deficit. Instead, they've been called on the carpet by the European Union many times for the relationship of their deficit to their PIL, which is their gross national product. They've been basically the Italian economy is stationary for. I've heard 20 years, but certainly in the last few years. So basically, instead of investing in this kind of infrastructure, is not the kind of transport infrastructure, isn't the kind of thing, even if one believes, you know, in classical economic precepts, which I don't, but that this kind of transport infrastructure doesn't really help the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's basic research and technological development that helps actually Italian industries. But, you know, these high-speed trains are going to be produced by France. The electric energy to produce this, like, 25,000-volt line, special, they're going to have to build a special high-voltage line, will come from nuclear plants in France. A lot of the benefits, economic benefits, are going to France. And like I said, there's this Pendolino train, this incredible, you know, high-technology train, which used to go through Valsusa, but they eliminated that line because there weren't enough passengers. So they're going to have these anyway. I just want to go back to another little story earlier history here.
Okay,
which is that a lot of this there's a lot of mafia involvement in this. Going back to the 80s, the mafia started laundering. They had a boom in drug activity back in the 80s, and they had to deal with this money. So they started laundering their money through large construction projects, especially freeways in the south.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a worldwide phenomenon. The Le Monde Diplomatique, I think they estimated that every year global crime brings in something like $1 trillion that gets laundered and goes into economies and things.
Yeah, well, in Italy, it goes to these large construction projects, freeways, Of course, this when they invented this tab, and in fact, this book that I cited by Imposimato, which is almost hard to find. It was he could only find a small editor, and it's basically virtually been censored. He details the entire history of this tab, and what they do is they create their own firms. They've got the mafia has their own firms, and they launder their money through these huge projects, which millions of cubic meters of cement. Toto Riina, the famous mafia boss, is called the mafia's minister of public works. That was by Falcone, the judge who was murdered in 1993,
right.
I think, with the bomb. Yeah, he was investigating. He was started to investigate some of this stuff too. So anyway, when the TAV thing came, and a lot of these high speed train projects have a lot of subcontractors that are directly mafia connected, but a lot of the investigations into this all derailed in the 90s, strangely enough.
What a surprise.
They basically met dead ends, yeah.
Yeah, well, too. You know, I sort of wonder, eventually peak oil is going to kick in, and this may just be a huge boondoggle, you know. If you know, the price of oil doubles and triples and goes higher, you know, these high-speed trains just seem to be even more useless than they are now.
I agree. Plus, you know, this is, like I say, it's 20 years in advance they're looking that this thing is actually going to be operative, if then.
Mm-hmm.
And, there, you know, there's no way knowing what's going to happen since then. But before we end, I see there's only a few minutes. The most incredible thing about this is that all the town's mayors are in favor, and they're completely united with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's basically been a whole new kind of participatory democracy. There's been these spontaneous committees that have sprouted up and gotten incredibly active. And now all over Italy, they're springing up. There's people. People people are just waiting for something like this to happen.
Mm.
There's been a few things like this against a nuclear waste dump down in the south, where they basically close it down because of popular action, but it's basically local townspeople. But this thing is spreading all over Italy. There's going to be a demonstration in Torino this Saturday. And then a big cultural event with Dario Fo and some other famous.
Isn't he running for something now? I saw the name of the paper recently. He's going to run for something or other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure what.
I haven't told that.
Well, so in other words, this is from the point of view of the ruling classes. This is a horrible example that might spread.
Exactly. Well, they're scared. That's why they brought them to the table, because they saw something happening that they certainly did not expect,
mm-hmm.
and is starting to send shockwaves through the system. Yeah, I mean, people are pretty fed up, and at so many different levels, you know, the privatizations, mm-hmm. just the inherent corruption in the Italian political scene on left and right.
Oh, boy.
And so it's just shaking up the, you know, I was talking about the regional government,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to keep the Greens and the Rifondazione Comunista and the others in line, it could, you know, if they withdraw, it could create a crisis in the regional government. It could create a crisis for the April election. So it's going to be interesting. Let's just say that.
So right now you have, what, thousands of people sitting there blocking the project or what?
No. Well, you see, what happened was there was some vandalism that happened that day,
mm-hmm.
December 8th. And these town mayors are in a very difficult position because they're, you know, caught, you know, they're with the people, but they also have an institutional role, you know, and they're going against these big powers. But they have to be careful because, you know, there's a lot of different elements involved in the struggle. You know, there's people from these social centers, there's anarchists, there's communists, there's these disobedienti who were famous, you know, in Geneva and other places. And so there's a lot of people, who are frustrated and angry and do things that the main you know body of the protesters are totally nonviolent. They're committed to a nonviolent struggle, but when you have big protests, you can't control everything. So
right. Mm-hmm.
So some things happened there. There's some conflicts with the police that happened. Some people were injured. So they basically said in a gesture of good faith asked everybody to leave and sort of vacated the site and set in motion this meeting in Rome, and so that's, you know, there's a lot of complex dynamics going on.
Okay, we've got about a minute, so that is the next step then, this meeting in Rome?
No, that happened on Saturday.
Oh, so what is it?
But the mayors didn't sign it, and they're
uh-huh.
probably not going to sign it.
Okay.
So, but it looks like they're going to honor basically no one wants to see this thing keep going. People have been going and going 24 hours a day there in Valsusa. They're kind of tired, and the mayors say they don't want to boycott the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
which was a possibility. If they had actually gone through with this, you know, the work site, the construction site, there could have been some actual blocking of roads and stuff during the Olympics. So no, it's the march in Torino. So that's the next thing, see how many people, you know, if there's going to be 100,000 or 200,000 or 300,000, see how, you know, because basically it's been increasing in involvement for years and years. Every event they do is more and more people involved.
Okay, I think we're going to have to end it on that. No, well, thanks a lot for being with us. Paul Rowland, former KBOO broadcaster, now living in Italy. And, well, this is something we should keep on following. Thanks
yep.
a lot for being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Bear. Good to be back on Wednesday.
Okay.
The time is 10 a.m. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. Coming up next on People Rise Up, a discussion about liquefied natural gas, including proposals to site new facilities along the Oregon coast.